Toronto-based singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and producer Charlotte Day Wilson is known for her atmospheric and textured blend of jazz, R&B, folk, electronic pop, and soul. You've heard many of her songs here on our Jazz Odyssey program, whether it's her solo work or her wonderful collaborations with Bad Bad Not Good. On Friday, May 3rd, Charlotte Day Wilson returns with her second full-length album titled Cyan Blue, which is her debut on XL Recordings. It's my pleasure to welcome to KUVO Charlotte Day Wilson. Hi, Charlotte. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Congratulations on a beautiful new record.
Thank you so much.
How are you feeling now that it's ready to be released out into the world?
I feel great. I think it's funny because, you know, I think there's definitely validation that comes from putting music out and having people connect with it. But this album for me was a big experiment in really just everything being about the process and not necessarily the product. And so I already feel for myself that this album was a success because basically I achieved what I set out to achieve, which was to have fun making it.
Mm-hmm.
And as kind of basic as that might sound, it's something that was kind of hard for me with previous records. And so, yeah, I feel great that it's out in the world, but I also am just so happy that like I achieved the thing that I set out to. And yeah, I'm proud. I'm really proud of it.
Your last album, Alpha, you primarily self-produced and you kind of worked on that during a global pandemic, which would bring anybody down. With this mm-hmm. particular album, you opted to spend some time out in Laurel Canyon and record that album out in California. So that must have been somewhat freeing to be outside of our insular, you know, kind of lockdown mentality, to be able to be out and in a different state of mind and then also in a different state in a different country. What was that decision-making process for you like to kind of get out of Canada and record this album out in California?
Yeah, I mean, like everything with the project, it just happened organically and naturally. Basically, I have an old friend named Jack Roshan who co-produced the entire album with me. And he had been living out in LA for a few years doing production. And my partner lives in LA. So I was just visiting and him and I did a couple sessions just to like reconnect and, you know, play some music together. And we had a really good time. And we were like, are we kind of like working on something here? Is this like potentially a project that is like happening really quickly before our eyes after two or three sessions? And that's kind of what it turned into. So I just, you know, I had multiple reasons to be out there and it was just a good excuse to, like you said, kind of get out of my own, my home environment and where I had spent so much time kind of alone working on previous projects, to get out into open air and a new place and try a new process by working collaboratively with someone else.
Did you have songs kind of written or like demos, like kind of in your head, or were a lot of these songs that the 13 songs that make up Cyan Blue, were they kind of done all within this collaboration?
I would say a third of them I had demoed out beforehand, and the other two-thirds were done like fully in collaboration in the room with Jack.
Wow. It's a great record. You're joined by Snow Allegra on this album on the track Forever.
I'm living lost and lost, so I changed my mind too much. Forever's not enough.
Talk to me about your collaboration with her.
Snow is a beautiful person, an amazing singer, amazing songwriter, mm-hmm. and someone that I've known for quite some years. And we always had this kind of like ongoing thing of like, oh, when are we going to like, we got to get in together. And, you know, when are we going to finally work together? And when Jack and I made the beginnings of the song that she ended up on called Forever, I felt like the song, like the production was so strong and the hook was so strong, but I almost felt like it wasn't a song for me. Like I was like, maybe it's a song for someone else, but you know, I wrote a verse and then I was like, okay, well maybe it's just a feature on this song. And so as soon as I heard it, I was like, well, Snow would sound amazing on this. And sure enough, she was down when I sent it to her. So yeah, I love her verse. I love her contribution. I love her as an artist.
Oh, so do I. She's wonderful. And the fact that both of you are working together, just I totally was fangirling out when I was listening to that song, because it's a beautiful song.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. You grew up in a musical family, and you even studied music in school, playing saxophone and classical piano. When did you discover your singing voice? You have such a rich, smoky sound. When was it where you started just kind of identifying your voice?
The first moment that I ever remember someone taking notice of my voice, you know, I'd always been singing a little bit here and there. I was in, you know, choirs as a child and stuff like that. But I remember driving. I played hockey very seriously as a kid and as a teenager at like the top level that you can in Canada. And my dad would drive me to hockey practice every day, and listening to music in the car was kind of our way of bonding and also just like passing the time that was so kind of boring driving through suburban Ontario. And yeah, I would just sing along to the songs. And I remember him one day like turning the music down a little, the volume down, and just being like, wait, like you're really singing right now. Like you really kind of have a great voice. And I was like, really? I don't know. And he's like, yeah, just sing out, you know, sing loud. And I think after that moment, I did start feeling like, oh, maybe I could be a singer. And so I just continued practicing. But I will say, like, I have recordings of myself singing in high school, and I did not have a good voice. Like, straight up, it is a skill that you develop over time. Like, practice makes perfect. You know, I think some people are born with, like, just, you know, God-given amazing voices. For me, it took a lot of singing and a lot of practice to actually develop a voice that sounds listenable.
Well, I think it's very listenable. It's such a very unique voice. It's got a nice tone to it. It's very smoky and rich. It's just a really beautiful voice. Who were some of the musical influences when you were growing up to some of the artists that were connecting with you?
I grew up really loving Motown and just soul music in general. That was like the music that was played around my house. And in terms of singers, I mean, Aretha Franklin was my all-time favorite. She was also the first concert that I ever went to. So, like, that was a really, you know, transformative time for me as, like, grade 5 or 6. And then as I started discovering my own music, I would say, like, Nina Simone, D'Angelo, Lauryn Hill, all of, you know, like, you know, amazing neo-soul singers. And then who else? There's so many amazing singers out there. I listen to a lot of music. It's always hard to on the spot remember who they all are. But yeah, just kind of like a lot of different genres too. I loved Feist. I think as like a young Canadian, like seeing another Canadian woman have a career, and like I thought her voice was one of the most amazing. I still love her voice a lot. Yeah, kind of a lot of different genres.
And some of the newer artists that you're working with and that I personally love is you worked with Mustafa, who's a relatively new artist that I just adore. And you've worked with him too. Talk to me about your relationship and working relationship with Mustafa, the artist.
I mean, yeah, Mustafa is just one of my close friends, and agreed, he's like such an important artist. He's an important person in every way. And his music is so beautiful. His voice is insane. I remember the first time I heard, because basically I knew of him as a poet, and I also knew of him as like someone who was helping write other people's songs, because he did that for a while before he started putting out his own music. And I remember Frank Dukes actually showed me. Frank Dukes is a producer, a big producer who from Toronto was kind of like starting to work with him a little bit and help him out. And he showed me a recording of, it was Mustafa singing over top of like a Sufjan Stevens guitar loop.
Oh, wow.
And it was just, I didn't realize that this guy had this voice, you know, like it was like a secret weapon. And then all of a sudden I was hearing it, and I just, tears came out of my eyes, because it was like, I can't believe this boy has this voice, you know, such a special voice, very, very special human, someone I'm extremely honored and grateful to have as a friend.
He's just
a collaborator.
Yeah, he's just a wonderful artist, and I highly recommend people check his work out as well. You eventually dropped out of school and worked various odd jobs, and then eventually landed an internship at Arts and Crafts, which is a fantastic record label up in Canada with a lot of phenomenal artists. What did that internship teach you about the music industry while you were there?
It kind of taught me that you don't, like, at the beginning of a career, you, like, for someone like me, where the music was the focus, my focus was not, like, marketing myself heavily and promoting myself heavily, or, like, trying to become, like, anything. I don't know, like, I wasn't really interested in anything other than, like, making music and having people hear it. I think it taught me that, like, I didn't really need a label, to be honest,
right.
For the first, like, few years of my career. And obviously that was supported by the fact that, like, I had songs that were, did their own kind of, like, organic thing and found their way to people who, you know, organically loved it and connected with it. And I think it also is just, like, you know, when you get offers from labels earlier on in your career, like, the deals are not good, you know,
right.
For me, at least, it was like, as much as I had some negotiating power, I didn't have enough to get the deal that would reflect how I wanted to see myself in a contract. And so, you know, I'm really lucky and grateful that I've gotten to a place now where I have, like, a great symbiotic relationship with XL, which is, like, you know, in my opinion, one of the last few labels that really have kind of an identity and are really about the music first.
Yeah, I think it's a great pairing, having your this new album coming out as your XL Recordings kind of debut. I think it's a wonderful partnership there. As a queer artist, you initially had reservations about kind of being pigeonholed just as a gay artist, but now you are much more owning your identity. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of twofold. I think, like, the culture is changing and my own comfortability also has evolved over the years. But I think, like, with, you know, queerness being a much less taboo thing than it was maybe when I first started singing, not that it was necessarily taboo, but it just wasn't as in pop culture, I guess. So I think with the times changing and also, yeah, just my own maturing and self-acceptance and celebration of my identity, like, that has changed for me. And it's, you know, so I don't think about it anymore. I don't think about the fact that I'm using, like, she, her pronouns when I'm singing, whereas that's something that used to worry me a little bit. And yeah, I would say, like, I didn't want to be pigeonholed in the sense of I didn't want to be labeled as one thing or the other. I just wanted to, for people to listen to the music for the music, not for anything else.
Right. Well, as a queer listener myself, I'm glad that you are owning that identity, because it's certainly touching those that need to hear it. Yeah. So I certainly appreciate that you are out and proud and representing artists in the music industry and being yourself and your true
no, I could
self.
I could tell you were gay by the way you comfortably said gay, because, you know, sometimes people still are weird about that. So, you know, I appreciate you.
Oh yeah, I'm an old queen, honey.
Oh yeah.
Cyan is the color between blue and green on the visible spectrum of light, and you also have a lyric in the song Canopy where you sing about when the light comes through, am I the same as you, just a different shade of blue. The color blue seems to be a theme on this album, both lyrically and visually, with the gorgeous album artwork. Is there a significance in that particular cyan and blue thematic color on this album?
Yeah, so my eyes are like a color in between green and blue, and something that I'm always kind of fascinated with and maybe forever a little bit perplexed by is the fact that we can never go back and feel feelings more than once. You know, we can go back to an intense moment and remember how something might have looked or smelled or what we were wearing or, you know, the look on someone else's face, but we'll never actually be able to access those emotions again. And I think something that I try to do in my music is to try and access emotions from the past again. Not totally sure why, but it's just something that happens when I'm writing. And so, yeah, this kind of theme of wanting to see through my eyes at different stages of life is something that I sing about a lot on the record. And so there's that. And then also I had like a synesthesia for this color in between green and blue, or just like greens and blues in general. They were a really guiding force for me when I was making creative decisions with the music. In the past, I like didn't really think that I had synesthesia, but I heavily associated my music with oranges and yellows and ombres and reds. And I just assumed that that's just because my music was like warm and rich, and that's how I felt about it, that it was that palette. But working on this, I had a completely, everything looked different for me when I would hear the music, and I had this kind of like palette through which everything had to align. in this green blue world. And so I just leaned into that. And, you know, I thought it was nice to build that into the album title to kind of give listeners the same lens through which to listen to it that I created it in.
It's absolutely beautiful. I mean, from the artwork onto the lyrical content, and then, you know, references to cyan and blue and green, it's all there. And even in the middle of the album, you do this really wonderful rendition of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which even has the lyrics, Skies Are Blue. Talk to me about putting that iconic Judy Garland Wizard of Oz song as kind of like the centerpiece in the middle of the album there.
Okay, well, you'll appreciate this maybe as a queer, but the rainbow is, there is like a metaphor there for queerness. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of, I was lying in bed one night and just laughing to myself while I was working on the record, because for some reason I just started singing this to myself when I was trying to fall asleep. And I started subbing out lyrics to kind of be about like when someone is over their gay phase. And I was just like subbing out lyrics of like over the rainbow, like, oh, she's over the rainbow,
right.
She's over it. And I had actually recorded a version with my own like subbed out lyrics. And then we didn't actually get the rights to use that version. So we just decided to do a straight up cover, which I think is for the best, because there were some harsh lyrics that I think I'm glad that they aren't in there anymore. And I also did end up finding a lot of like nice metaphors that worked really well and maybe a little bit more subtly with the original lyrics than the ones that I had changed it to. But, you know, maybe I'll sing my version live or something.
Well, it's a wonderful and it's a very short little thing. It's less than 2 minutes long, but it's such a recognizable song. Really kind of ties it all together, whether it's color spectrums or spectrums of light or, you know, rainbows, all of it. I totally felt it. So thank you for including that in this track listing.
Oh, amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Cyan Blue is the brand new album from Charlotte Day Wilson. It comes out this Friday, May 3rd on XL Recordings. Charlotte, thank you so much for taking time to talk to me about the new album and your life. I wish you the best on it. We absolutely love you here at Kuvo Jazz. We absolutely adore you and play a lot of your music on our Jazz Odyssey program. So I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
Oh, thank you so much, Shane. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Well, good luck with everything. If you're going out on tour and all of that, if you're ever in Denver, please do look us up.
Will do. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Have a great day.